Before we open God's word together, let us pray. Our loving and gracious Father in heaven, we turn to thee again in this afternoon as we have gathered together, even as we have sung, to hear thy precious word, to open these words of truth and life, to guide us, give us wisdom, and to teach us how to live, to teach us more of thee, that we could understand thy greatness and worship thee as we ought. We thank thee for this day that we have hallowed unto thee for thy service and for the edification of one another. We pray, dear Lord, that thou would be with us in our midst. Guide the thoughts and the words as thou would bring the scripture to our minds and to our hearts and write it deeply upon each one. Bless us all with thy presence, for we need thee each and every hour. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. With the Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to the first epistle of John. Read chapter 1 through chapter 2, verse 5. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full. This, then, is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know that we are in him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The Apostle John writes by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to believers and to all that would open the Word, that seek to know where they stand before God. The Scripture here gives us clear instruction and light for our hearts and lives to know where we stand before God. How are we before Him? And all who desire to know, to have a yearning, to be right with God, to be at peace, to be in part of His kingdom, can read and learn. And if we put that desire above the desire for the things of this world, above all other pursuits, the Lord will open our eyes of understanding so that it need not be a question mark that ends that statement, what is my standing before God and how am I before Him? But that we can, through faith, stand upon the promises of God and its clear direction and know whether we are in Him or whether we are not. This is very important for us to understand. And for such a topic, if you were going to find someone to advise you, I'm sure that you would go to somebody who has experience, somebody with understanding, and somebody who has gone through life. And that's what we find in the Apostle John. He is speaking as an eyewitness of God's revelation, of God's message to mankind through Jesus Christ. He beheld Jesus. He listened to His teachings. He was an eyewitness, and he says even His hands have handled. He saw those scars that Jesus had after His crucifixion and resurrection, and he sat at the side of Jesus during the Last Supper. And I believe that there's so many connections with that Last Supper conversation that Jesus had with His disciples that not too many people were able to see firsthand, but He wanted to invite and bring believers into that room to remember what Jesus said, because what He shared with His disciples was so important and life-giving. You may look through the world for advice on a particular topic. Maybe you're interested in cooking something new or fixing your car, and you go out and you search for something and you type in the subject and you find here's some information on it, and they show you a video of a man who starts and he says, I've never done this before, but I'm going to show you what I'm doing. Don't you just kind of quickly click through that and maybe take it with a grain of salt? That's not what John is saying here. He was eyewitness. He beheld Jesus in His glory. He beheld Jesus at the Mount of Transfiguration. This is a reliable, proven source. So we don't have to click through quick. We take our time and we listen deeply. We pay attention. He has our best in mind. His desire in writing these things is that so you as a reader and me as a reader and one who is given the opportunity to read the Word in freedom and then also have the freedom to respond to it in the way that our conscience directs, He writes and declares all these things that we might have fellowship. That in seeking the truth in God, as revealed in Jesus Christ, we might be brought together in a common understanding, a common love, a common desire and purpose. Truly our fellowship is with the Father, he says, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. It is more valuable for you to have fellowship with God than any other association on the face of this earth. No matter how well-meaning or how enjoyable the gatherings of people together are, if the Lord is not in the center and the focus and the aim and the objective of our fellowship, we gather in vain. We gather for a temporary pleasure, one that will be left behind when our life is over. But in the Lord, in coming together to seek God's will and to be molded by His commandments, we endeavor something of eternal value, something that will not fade away, something that does not lead to regrets, though it might cost us things in this life. Family connections. It is well worth the sacrifice. And it is one that will bring a fullness of joy rather than the temporary joys that we can experience in the things that man considers valuable. So, John, what is it that you want to tell us? What is it that's so important that you've seen, that you've experienced? What comes at the top of the list? Before you lose everybody's attention, what is the thing that you want to get across? This is the message. It's not three helpful things to make yourself a better wife or husband or a better student. He wants to tell you who God is. This is the message that we have heard of Him. This is the message that came directly from Jesus Christ and declare unto you. This is the thing that we've received and now that we are passing on, first and foremost of value, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. It's been said that the most important thing about a man is the first thing that comes to their mind when they think of God. In the time period of John and Apostle Paul, when they're writing to these times when it's heavily influenced by Greek philosophy and the false pagan gods that they had, when they thought of God, they thought of a person with superpowers, susceptible to temptations and lusts, to greed, to envy, to mistakes. Someone who could be manipulated. That's what they thought about God. And so they would go with their sacrifices to their altars, and they would say, God, God bless me for my financial help. And I'm going to come and I'm going to do this sacrifice and I'm going to go through these motions, and I'm hoping that you return to me, God. Whatever the God's name was. And that is much like this world. It hasn't changed a lot. First thing we think of when we think of God through the cultural lens that we are exposed to day by day is, what did He ever do for me? And why doesn't He stop my suffering? The first thing that came to John's mind when he thought of God is light. Purity. You have to ask, what does that light mean to you? Holiness. Truth. Faithfulness. Sinlessness. A character beyond reproach. Glory and power and virtue. We could go throughout the rest of the 20 minutes left speaking of God, thinking about Him and His glory, how He is worthy of our worship. He is worthy of us coming before Him with a heart of penitence, a heart that is willing to give Him everything because He's a light that sees into our lives. He's a light that shines into dark places. He's a power that overcomes all of his adversaries. Who can stand before him? Not one of us would dare. In him is no darkness at all. There's no cheating to get around his understanding. There is nothing that he is ashamed of and willing to hide. Oh, how different this God is than man. How much higher are his thoughts than our thoughts, and his ways above our ways. How good and righteous and right he is to keep things out of our knowledge, to keep them secret, so that we would seek after him and not just the knowledge and the information he can provide. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If there is one thing that John writes first and foremost for us to grasp, is the idea and the understanding of who God is, that we might approach him with reverence, in awe and wonder at his glory, at his beauty, at how different he is from everything that we can see and touch and handle and experience in this life. If we have that in place, just like a good foundation for a building, the other levels fall into place properly. If we believe that God could be manipulated or cheated, we will try. We're that bad. Our hearts are that hard that if there was an opportunity to slip something past him, man will. And that's what John addresses in the next verse. If we say that we have fellowship with him, that is what we declare, the messaging that we put out about who we are and where we stand before God and what our eternal destiny is. If we do that and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. God is not fooled. God is not mocked. And the other scriptures teach us that we'll reap what we sow. And so there's very little value in what we project as an image, how it's supposed to look, just right, crisp and clean. If my life and my way of life, my way of interacting with others, my worship of God is done somewhat in darkness, somewhat concealed or sinful, then he contrasts that in verse 7. But brothers and sisters, take this to heart. If we walk in the light, this is a promise of assurance and strength and value. If we do walk in that light, which we'll explore a little bit more about what that means, put a little flesh on that. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, what can you expect? We have fellowship one with another. There's a bond of community and closeness that we will share. Probably illustrated so beautifully as individuals from countries who were previously at world wars came together as they sought the Lord, and all they cared about was being faithful to God and to his word. They'll have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. We have that hope. We have that assurance. We have that promise. When we're walking in the light, we're doing as Jesus taught, to keep the commandments, to love God, to believe in him, and to do the very first thing that Jesus taught. When he went through the synagogues, he taught, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There is an aspect of walking in the light that is walking in the light as he is in the light, in purity, in holiness, and godliness. And there is an aspect of walking in the light that does not hide secret sin, but is willing to confess it whenever it arises. Because that was Jesus' first teaching, and it's the last teaching when he told the disciples to go out into all the nations and teaching them all things that I have taught you and to keep and to observe. That's Jesus' message. That's his sermon. It would have been about repentance, about not hiding sin, and about doing away with it, putting it behind you, being free so that you can have that fellowship and closeness, so that you can have that assurance of the covering of Jesus' blood to cleanse you from all sin. Why leave anything to question? If you know about it, straighten it out. Get it right before God and man. Don't wait until you're on a hospital bed after a car accident that you didn't expect. Make it right today. Jesus says, and the word speaks to us, that there is a way, there is a hope, and it's found in him. All other roads will give you lots of different promises, and they'll look really good. But the friends will walk away when you needed them most. But there's a friend that sticks closer to a brother who was alone on a cross. And he knows where you are. Come to him. Come to his light. And come to his teaching. Now. Don't put it off. Just listen to the experience, to the faithful witness that writes it for us. That's my hope and prayer for each of us, to have, not just casually, but to embrace this verse strongly. And there would be no doubt in our mind. The word does not give a room for doubt. If we are walking in the light, we have no need to. We can be free. That's where our freedom comes from. Now, speaking of walking in the light, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. This would be like Jesus described two men who came to pray. The one deceived himself. He came and he brought thanksgiving to God that God had not made him like a sinner, like the publican, that he did all kinds of things. And all of his goodness was in his past. And he felt very confident that he was living that life beyond reproach. But there was another man who Jesus said came and asked God for mercy. He said that he was a sinner. Ask God for mercy. And there were probably many who looked at him and said, look at this worthless guy. He's no good. Don't worry what other people say. Jesus said that that man went home justified. It's more important what Jesus says than what man says. And when he speaks to us with that sweet peace that only he can, listen to him. When he speaks that there are attitudes, there are patterns of life, there are instances of giving in to temptation where we have not yielded to the power of the Spirit, listen to Him. Don't listen to yourself and what excuses you can make. Quickly listen to the Lord's leading. He'll lead you in a way that will bring you to fellowship with Him, to peace, and a greater assurance of your standing before God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A simple command. Easy to preach about, easy to speak about. But we have it as the Word of God to be the rule of our life. And the Spirit can use the Scripture and say, is this Scripture and faith coming together? Do you believe this with all of your heart? If you do, simply obey. Simply follow. To make confession, to find healing, and to trust in the faithfulness of God to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you walk away and you say, I don't need any of that, I'm fine, thank you very much. I've been attending church since I was a little boy, little girl. Then verse 10 applies to us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's a dreadful thought. I like to think that my years in Sunday school would have done something for me, that I would have remembered and retained something of the things that I've learned, or sitting in the services, or reading the Scripture at home and praying with my family. But if my attitude towards God, when He pricks my conscience, when He gives me the instruction, Robert, you need to change. Robert, I want you to grow in this area and trust me. And I say, no thanks. That's not allowing the word to abide in me. Take its root and bear fruit to God's honor and glory. That's my words abiding in me. Me getting glory. And that's not the direction that the child of God needs to go. That's not the pattern of life that the Scripture is calling us to. And so, John continues in chapter 2. He says, my little children. I wonder if John, he was the one apostle and disciple that possibly did not die a martyr's death, probably lived the longest, and if he perhaps was older at this time. He speaks to the believers as little children. I wonder if he ever thought about when he was arguing with the other disciples about who was going to be greatest, Jesus took a child and put him in the middle of them. And he held him in his arms and said, if you receive one of these little ones, you receive me. And now he's remembering what Jesus said about these little ones. And he affectionately calls them, my little children. These things write I unto you that ye sin not. When you know that God is light, and you revere Him and worship Him in a way that is consistent with that truth, it dispels any idea that I can use God as an escape route for myself. I'll live as I please, and when I need forgiveness, I'll go to God. that is very far from the teaching of the Scripture. The teaching of the Scripture is not that we merit or gain God's favor by our actions, our character, or our good works, by any means. But we believe in Jesus Christ and what he has done to make a way for our sins to be forgiven. And we love him. Those two things together are very powerful. When they're held together, not loosening on one or the other, they make for a life that is loving God, desiring to walk in the light, and faithfully walking in the light, as we've described, one that pursues purity, holiness, values it, and champions it. And at any time, if there would be any wicked way, would confess and cast it from ourselves quickly. Two very different ways. And you might say, well, you might say that the answer is the same, the result is the same. As long as they get forgiven and get to heaven, who cares? Who cares? When the Bible says you don't have the Word of God in you, or you don't know him, you don't realize that he is light. And in him is no darkness at all. And so, yeah, we do err greatly. And there are a lot of teachings and false teachers out in the world that sort of advocate for that type of approach to God. But the Scripture would speak better things and things that accompany salvation. A life that is motivated and moved and inspired and empowered by a living Jesus Christ within us through a new birth, and also an openness to hear the word of the Spirit, to grow, and to make correction where we need. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. My friend, do you have an advocate? Do you have one that could speak for you? Do you have one that you rely upon and hold dear? He is the one. The one who said, repent. The one who said, believe on me. He can be your advocate. We have him, brothers and sisters. We have him, and we appreciate and cherish what he has done for our life and what he is doing in our lives and what he will do in making all things right and giving us hope of eternal life and ushering us into his eternal kingdom. He is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, not ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And so the invitation and the opportunity goes to all of our friends that come to hear the word, that your sins can be forgiven through Jesus' blood. And finally, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Understanding of who God is brings about a change of life through his living power. And that is the command of Jesus Christ. And he does not command us so that we can go off and do it on our own, but he will help us along the way. He will provide all things that are needed for this life in godliness. Promise of the Scriptures. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But on the flip side, whoso keepeth his word? Let that word be cherished, loved, and believed enough that we would keep it. In him, verily, is the love of God perfected. There is a love of God that can be experienced and known and full. That is my desire. I believe it's ours collectively. Hereby know we that we are in him. These are the things that work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose. May our understanding of who God is, our love for him, our faith in him and what he has provided for us, and the promises that we can continually trust upon him, be the strength for our daily walk, that we can be a light in this sin-darkened world. Amen.
In him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. We can be persuaded of this and be confident of this, that we are in him when we keep his word and his love is perfected within us. A beautiful description of an individual. Jesus said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." These are the words of Jesus. If we love God, we will keep his commandments. The Bible says that his commandments aren't grievous. They're not difficult. They're not burdensome. They're not loath to keep. They're a delight. We read that in Psalm 119. His law is my delight. We delight in the Lord. We delight to keep his commandments. We keep his commandments, we abide in the light. We don't walk in darkness. And we show that we love him, and then he loves us in return, and his love is manifest to us. It's revealed in us. We know him. We experience his love when we keep his commandments. So what's his commandments? What is it that we have to keep that can validate that we are in him and his light is abiding in us? The scriptures say, Jesus himself, that all the commandments can be consolidated, summarized into two: to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. These are the commandments of God. When we keep his commandments, his love abides in us. We experience his love, and we feel that revelation of his love in us when we simply love him with our all and our neighbor as ourselves. Amen.